From NPR News in Washington, this is Iowa and Beyond, a special podcast on the nation's first presidential contest of 2012. I'm Giles Snyder.
This is a campaign night where America wins. We're going to change the White House and get America back on track.
It was a photo finish, but Mitt Romney pulled out the narrowest of wins. Just 8 votes separated him from second-place finisher Rick Santorum. But for Santorum, it's still a big victory.
Game on.
Santorum, Romney, and Ron Paul, who came in a convincing third, head into New Hampshire able to claim some momentum. But the caucuses have left other candidates, including Rick Perry, reassessing where they stand.
With a little prayer and reflection, I'm going to decide the best path forward.
This is Iowa and Beyond, a special podcast from NPR News. It was a long night for the candidates in the Iowa Republican caucuses, and not just for those who didn't do well. The race ended up being unusually close between frontrunner Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum, who languished in the bottom tier of candidates for most of the year. But that didn't faze 49-year-old Barb Kepert, an investment analyst who attended Santorum's election night party at a hotel in suburban Des Moines.
A month ago, we thought if he get over 10%, he's on the radar. And then last week, if he can get over 15%, now if we really are polling and getting in over 20%, that's big. And that's great to see the momentum and people really finally focusing on the candidates and seeing what they wanted to see.
The night actually started as a 3-way race between Santorum, Romney, and Ron Paul. But by 11 p.m., Santorum was ahead, albeit by a slim margin. Joel Jollymore watched returns on a flat screen at the Santorum party.
3% left to report, man. This is awesome.
In the end, though, Santorum fell just a few votes short, as NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
Mitt Romney won Iowa by the narrowest of margins, but the star of the night was Rick Santorum. He had little money or organization and was forced to run a shoe leather campaign. He visited all 99 counties in Iowa, and in the last week he vaulted from the bottom of the polls to the top, peaking at just the right moment. At his victory party last night, he thanked his wife, God, and the voters of Iowa in that order.
By standing up and not compromising. By standing up and being bold and leading with that burden and responsibility you have to be first, you have taken the first step of taking back this country.
Almost 60% of caucusgoers identify themselves as born-again or evangelical, and this formidable block of Iowa voters provided the bulk of Santorum's support. Mitt Romney ended up with about 25% of the vote, right about where he's been in the polls all along and exactly what he got in Iowa 4 years ago. But last night, he declared the results a great victory.
And thank you, Iowa, for the great send-off you're giving to us and to the others in this campaign. Look, this is a campaign night where America wins. We're going to change the White House and get America back on track.
63% of caucusgoers said Romney was the candidate best able to beat Barack Obama. Romney emerges from Iowa the same way he came in, as a vulnerable frontrunner. He has money and organization and does well in hypothetical matchups against President Obama, but he still hasn't been able to win over the conservative base of his party. Ron Paul placed third. He had the support of young voters, independents, and people going to the polls for the first time. Paul was the only candidate who expanded the Republican electorate by bringing in new voters. Many of them were attracted to his isolationist approach to foreign policy, out of the mainstream of Republican thought, but appealing to young people. Paul said he'd take his campaign to New Hampshire, where he hopes independent voters join his libertarian grassroots movement.
Some people say, well, you guys just do that because you believe in something and promote a cause. Certainly, but how's the best way to promote a cause? That is, win elections. That's the way you promote it.
Newt Gingrich came in fourth. He had been in first place briefly, but his support collapsed under a barrage of negative ads, most of them bought by a super PAC supporting Mitt Romney. Gingrich is furious about this, and last night he promised to fight back against Romney.
We are not going to go out and run nasty ads. We're not going to go out and run 30-second gotchas. We're not. But I do reserve the right to tell the truth. And if the truth seems negative, that may be more a comment on his record than it is on politics.
Gingrich says the debate with Romney begins this morning in New Hampshire, where he's taken out an ad in the Union Leader, the conservative New Hampshire newspaper that endorsed him. But it's not clear whether Gingrich or Santorum can raise the kind of money needed to engage in a television ad war with Romney. The turnout for the caucuses did not reflect the enthusiasm advantage that Republicans have enjoyed over Democrats for the last 2 years. Despite Republicans' determination to defeat Barack Obama, 122,000 Republicans turned out to vote yesterday, not much more than the 119,000 that went to the caucuses 4 years ago. Mara Liasson, NPR News.
What made this year's caucuses so dramatic is the number of undecided Iowa voters. Many said they weren't sure how they would vote, even as the caucuses got underway at hundreds of sites across the state. NPR's Ari Shapiro talked to one caucus goer at a site near the state capitol.
All right, first person to arrive in the caucus room, the precinct head here. Would you introduce yourself?
Grant Young.
So who are you voting for tonight?
Still undecided.
It's 2 hours before the caucus.
I still got time.
Is this how you typically vote, undecided to the last minute?
No, not typically.
So what makes this year so different?
You know, I think that me, along with many other of the, what do they say, 41% of the undecideds out there tonight going to their precincts, they want to get this right. We can't afford the policies and the direction of this country that Barack Obama has taken this country. Because, you know, the old saying, if you don't win, you don't govern.
NPR's Ari Shapiro speaking with Grant Young, who was still undecided only a couple of hours before participating in the caucuses. NPR's Sonari Glinton spent the evening at a GOP caucus site at a secondary school in Des Moines.
Politics wasn't the only contact sport being played at Van Meter Secondary School.
All right, a pen for Van Meter.
The Van Meter Bulldogs wrestling team was taking on two other schools. That was while Republicans were gathering down the hall in the sweltering lunchroom. It was standing room only for the 217 voters packed in together. Like many, Laura Wunder brought her family. Also like many, she said the main reason she came out was because of President Obama.
This is the most important election I believe that I've participated in my life, and I have been a participant in the election process since I was 18. And I think that if we can't turn the country around now or with this next election in 2012, we may never recover.
And it was with that sense of urgency that the caucus began.
Can I get everybody's attention, please? I'm Tom Harbison. I'm the Van Meter caucus chair, temporary chair. And I want to welcome you to this caucus.
A representative for each candidate got up to speak. Chris McLendon, a corporate recruiter, did the talking for Mitt Romney.
I want to go in the trenches with Governor Romney against Barack Obama. Barack Obama just raised $75 million the last quarter to go against us on November 6, 2012.
The chairman ran the caucus with military efficiency. The votes were being counted within about 25 minutes of getting started.
Winning tonight is Romney with 71. In second, Santorum with 53.
There was a tie for third place between Rick Perry and Newt Gingrich. The divide in Van Meter seems to reflect the overall divide among Iowa Republicans, those who are purely fiscal conservatives and those who put social issues first. Laura Wunder says she voted for Rick Santorum, even though she felt a lot of pressure to go for Romney.
Romney is not my man. And I feel that a lot of people are pushing for him, but not people that I'm close with, people I know, people I trust. I'm not going that way. I love Rick Santorum and Newt and Michelle Bachmann because of their passion. I love them.
Most of the caucus goers left pretty quickly. But in the parking lot, Steve Tice stopped to talk to me about Iowa.
I don't know whether you're aware, but Iowa, is, especially the Des Moines area, is a test market area. And if it flies in Iowa, it might fly someplace else. If it doesn't fly in Iowa, it won't fly anywhere else.
Tice voted for Mitt Romney, who won narrowly. But he says the media pay too much attention to those who end up on top.
You know, Iowa's not about picking the winner. It's about eliminating some of the guys that just shouldn't have run.
We're likely to see the field thin a bit, even in the next few days. As for Van Meter's wrestling team, they wrestled in two meets last night and won both. Sonari Glinton, NPR News, Des Moines.
We're speaking now with Michael Dimmock. He's the Associate Director of the Pew Research Center. And Michael, what strikes you as the most surprising thing to come out of the caucuses?
Well, I think the big question going in was where the conservative energy in the Republican Party would go. And Rick Santorum clearly picked up a lot of that energy. He did very well among the core conservative blocks of the party, the strong conservatives, the white evangelical Protestants, the Tea Party base, all flipped for Santorum in the late part of this. And I think that is an important sense of their dissatisfaction with some of the other candidates and his ability to pull together some elements of that wing of the party, but not completely. The vote was split. The Tea Party vote was split. Five candidates got double digits among Tea Partiers. It's not clear that Santorum has won over that entire segment of the base.
Since the conservative vote was split, where does that leave Mitt Romney?
Well, Romney fought hard for the past 4 years to try to expand his support in the conservative base of the party and didn't do a very good job of it, in Iowa at least. He actually did worse among strong conservatives than he did 4 years ago, when those conservatives really went for Mike Huckabee late in the game. Still, through some support Romney's way, he was in the mid-teens in last night's polling in Iowa, which is not really what he was looking for in terms of widening his base of support.
Getting on to Ron Paul. Ron Paul, very strong among young voters.
Right. He picked up an enormous amount of support from young voters. Over half, about half of the younger voters that turned out supported him for this. He picked up an enormous amount of support from first-time caucus goers, which is both a reflection of where that new support is, but a reflection of his ability to get those folks out to the poll, people who aren't traditional Republican voters. You had more people voting in this caucus that call themselves independents. They had to register to vote and participate, but they think of themselves as independents, and they went overwhelmingly for Ron Paul. So he's picking up on a different energy center in the party, a more youthful, maybe a little bit more libertarian. But in some respects, this may not all be about his ideology. Some of it may be about his character, his authenticity. And that's something that we know a lot of these younger voters are really interested in.
Yeah, as we look ahead to New Hampshire, where do Romney, Paul, and Santorum and the other candidates in Iowa go from here?
I think things get very interesting from now forward. Rick Santorum's base, which is more evangelical and socially conservative, is much narrower in New Hampshire. It's probably not a strong state for him to move forward to. He may well focus his energy directly into South Carolina from this point, which is going to be a much stronger base for him to work with. But Ron Paul has a lot of like-minded thinkers in a state like New Hampshire who are a little bit more live free or die and ready to look for alternative types of candidates. So he may well pick up some momentum out of this going into a state like New Hampshire. And Newt Gingrich made it clear that he wants to fight a hard fight in New Hampshire and see if he can get himself back into the top tier of candidates in this race.
All right. Michael Dimmock, the assistant director of the Pew Research Center. Thank you.
Thank you.
Although much of the attention in Iowa focused on the Republicans, Democrats were also caucusing. Iowa Public Radio's Sarah McCammon reports supporters of President Obama turned out, even though it's clear he'll be the party's nominee.
With all the attention focused on the twists and turns in the GOP race, you could almost forget that Democrats were holding caucuses too. Lincoln High School, in a working-class neighborhood near downtown Des Moines, was just one of many sites across the state where Democrats gathered last night. President Obama, appearing by teleconference remote from Washington, told these early supporters he hasn't forgotten them.
I want you to know that because of you, because of all the memories I have of being in, you know, your living rooms or meeting you in a diner or seeing you over at a campaign office, I have never lost that same source of inspiration that drove me to embark on this journey in the first place. You guys inspire me every single day.
The president urged supporters to maintain the same energy and optimism he witnessed in the state 4 years ago, when the state raised him from underdog to eventual nominee in the January caucuses and gave him an 8-point win in November. Megan Jacobs of the Iowa Democratic Party says even without a fight for the nomination, organizing now is important for the president's success in the fall, and it all begins with the caucuses.
That's huge. I mean, that's how President Obama got his start last time around here in Iowa, with grassroots support, and that's how he's going to do it again this time around.
But this time around, even the president and his backers acknowledge the state will be tough. In his message last night, Mr. Obama said it will be a big battle, but added that he's excited. During a brief question and answer session plagued by several technical problems, Carol White spoke from a caucus site in Cedar Rapids. She praised the president for pushing through health care reform.
I am a breast cancer survivor and was a social worker for 33 years before retiring, and know firsthand what a great accomplishment the Affordable Care Act is among your other achievements. How do you respond to people who say you have not done enough?
You know, I think the main message that we're going to have in 2012 is that we've done a lot, but we've got a lot more to do. And that's why we need another 4 years to get it all done.
Healthcare remains an important issue for 38-year-old Des Moines resident William Sheets, who came to the caucus with his elderly mother, whom he cares for full time.
I'm a big supporter of the healthcare, and because my daughters are in the healthcare system and they need some help in there, and we don't make that much money. And I'm here to show my support for the president. Even though I didn't support him the first time around, I wanted to show that this time around that I'm liking all the things he did, and I'm here to support him.
Democratic leaders hope to engage voters like Sheets, persuading them to be with the president not only on caucus night and election day, but in the months in between as volunteer campaign workers. Betty Brim-Hunter is an official with the party's local county organization, as well as a state union leader. Speaking before the crowd of about 250, she asked supporters to sign up to knock on doors and make phone calls.
Polk County Democrats will be calling you. The Obama campaign will be calling. You know, if we'd all just do a little bit, we can get it taken care of. So thank you so much, and let's go caucus.
The supporters got a good start last night, if numbers released by the Iowa Democratic Party are any indication. Officials say more than 25,000 Iowans attended Democratic caucuses, and more than 7,500 promised to volunteer. For NPR News, I'm Sarah McCammon in Des Moines.
Mark Memmott live blogged for NPR.org's It's All Politics blog. He kept tabs on things as it happened for readers of NPR.org. But Mark, you also built in some levity there. One thing that caught my eye in one of your posts was when you likened the Iowa caucuses to a NASCAR race.
Well, it was very much like that as the evening went on, because you first had three guys, Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum, and Ron Paul, basically tied, and the numbers were going back and forth very, very close. And then it settled into Romney and Santorum. It was like they were drafting off of each other, like in a NASCAR race where one car pulls right up on the bumper of the one in front of it to sort of gain some speed and then whips out around, takes the lead. But then they do the opposite. The other guy pulls up on the bumper and does the same thing. And that just kept happening through the evening. 10 votes ahead, 20 votes ahead. Nope, the other guy is now 30 votes ahead, 40 votes ahead. It was just incredible to watch.
It really was. And you also noted a moment from Ron Paul where he referenced Austrians. And that's something that you don't normally hear in American politics.
No, Ron Paul has his own way of talking, and he hits the same themes over and over again. And at one point, he basically told his supporters, we're all Austrians now. And what he was referring to was the Austrian School of Economics put forward by Friedrich Hayek back around, you know, the early part of the 20th century. And it's the kind of thing that Ron Paul does. He really sticks to his gold standard, abolish the Fed, all those kind of themes. And he'd be the only person out there who would probably say something like that at a pep rally.
It seems to me that one of the things that you can do with a blog is quickly throw a link in to explain a reference like that.
Exactly. Tamara Keith of NPR had done a story about the Austrian School of Economics and why Ron Paul has long advocated it. So yes, we were able to quickly point people to that, you know, make a reference to what Paul said, and here's where to go to find out more about what it is he was talking about.
One other moment from the Iowa caucuses that comes to mind involved John Huntsman, the former Utah governor, who really didn't contest Iowa. He focused more of his energies on New Hampshire, but there was a moment with him.
There was a bright moment when somebody on the Ron Paul campaign, they wrote on their Twitter account, basically, hey, John Huntsman, we found the one person who voted for you over here in one of the counties. You ought to give him a call and say thanks. It was just one of those kind of fun things that happens throughout the evening as people are sort of tweaking each other a little bit. And we spotted it when it came off and sort of highlighted it for just a second. Yeah, you need a little bit of relief from the back and forth about numbers.
Last time I checked, Huntsman's doing a little better in the polls in New Hampshire.
Yes, he has. He's been spending a lot of time there. He's pushed his numbers up close, if not to maybe the double digit, still well behind Mitt Romney and a couple of the others. But yeah, he's doing much better than he has elsewhere.
So as we look ahead to New Hampshire, Mark, you'll be live blogging next week?
We'll be doing the same thing. We'll start it up in the early evening and sort of just follow the results as they come in.
All right, Mark Memmott, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The New Hampshire primary will be held next Tuesday. Mitt Romney, the former governor of neighboring Massachusetts, who spent considerable time there, is heavily favored. This is Iowa and Beyond, a special podcast on the Iowa caucuses from NPR News. It was produced by Elaine Heinzman. I'm Giles Snyder in Washington, and thanks for listening.